hands up if you're a Bond film fan. That was quick, Carl. I kind of knew that Carl's hand would shoot up. Okay, question for you. Who is the best Bond? Yeah, Carl? Daniel Craig, definitely? No? Sean Connery. Any other offers? Roger Moore, okay. It's a generational thing, I think, isn't it? Okay, I want you to think next. Who's your favourite Bond character? You're allowed to have villains, we won't judge you. If it's Odd Job, that's fine. Q? Give man. It's almost as if I primed Jess to feed that in. That's my favourite character as well, Q. Bond is never sent out on a mission without some serious kit. Here are just a few things that Bond has had at his disposal over the years. He's had his own personal Geiger counter. Everyone should have one. He's had a voice changer. An X-ray camera. A tube of explosive toothpaste. A grappling hook gun. A ghetto blaster rocket launcher. Who hasn't ever wanted one of those? A car phone before they existed in the real world. A keyring that explodes when you whistle the first few lines of Rule Britannia. That's a bit risky, isn't it? A mobile phone before they existed, which was also a taser and a fingerprint reader before they existed. And then it's the one for the Winter Olympics. He had a ski pole that was a gun. And finally, who can forget the rocket pack? And then there's a car. Do you remember the tyre slasher hubcaps that come out? The surface-to-air missiles that launch out the side, machine guns. This one, I think, was a bit ridiculous. A stealth invisibility cloak at one point. And again, last but not least, the famous ejector seat. Whatever the mission, Bond is sent out with some serious kit. In contrast, as we hear in our Bible reading, when Jesus sends out his disciples, he gives them the complete opposite treatment. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts, wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. That's verses 8 to 11. Far from giving them kit, Jesus tells them to not take anything other than the clothes that they are standing in. Now, these are men travelling without their wives. There's a strong possibility that they haven't changed their pants for a couple of days already. And now he's saying, you've just got to go as you are. They've done back to front, inside out, and then Jesus is saying, go as you are. It's as if he's about to pack them off on a Ryanair flight and he wants to avoid any extra charges. It's just take nothing, go as you are. They're not to take food, not to take a bag, not money. He generously allows them to wear a pair of sandals. That's big of him, isn't it? But essentially, he sends them off in pairs with the clothes on their back. And it's not just on the equipment stakes that Jesus is really minimal. He doesn't allow them to make plans. He doesn't say, here's your itinerary and I've rung ahead and booked, this is where you're going to be staying. Here's the plan. There's some people of grace and favor who are ready to go. None of that. He offers them a simple strategy. Turn up, see who welcomes you, and if no one does, move on. Turn up, see who welcomes you, and if no one does, just move on. I wonder what you make of this mission. Put yourself in the disciples' shoes. How would you have felt? Now, admittedly, the disciples were used to a simpler, less materialistic lifestyle. So when we go on a camping holiday, we fill 3 lorries worth of kit. That's not how they lived in Jesus' day. Admittedly, there's a strong culture of hospitality. They would just take strangers in. We don't do that. We want to DBS check them and have 12 references. But still, what Jesus tells them is pretty extreme. No bag, no food, no money, no blankets for cold nights. Just go. As missions go, I don't think it's entirely unfair to say that it's a bit of a seats of the pants operation. It's literally, go in faith. And for the disciples to go in the way that Jesus tells them, they have to trust him, don't they? They have to trust in the one who sends them. They literally don't have anything else to trust in. There isn't a bag of kit. There isn't money in the wallet. There isn't a couple of days' food to tide them over until they find a household that will welcome them. This mission is a faith adventure, a trust exercise. So why does Jesus send them in this way? Why make it, in some senses, mission difficult? Mission trust. Mission faith. Because he wants them to know that it's about faith. Because he wants them to know that this is so much bigger than them or what they can stuff in a bag or a plan that they can make. This is a kingdom assignment. Put yourselves in the shoes of the disciples. Imagine how nervous they must have felt as they walked into that first village going, okay, we've got a plan. It's not much of one, but we've got a plan. They must have been thinking, who's going to talk to us? But imagine the excitement they must have felt when that first family or individual greeted them and welcomed them and said, my home is yours. Come and stay with me. Imagine the adrenaline, the excitement they must have felt when people began to bring the sick and the oppressed, and they prayed for them as Jesus had told them to, and they were healed and set free. It must have been so obvious that God was at work, just opening doors, making a way, moving through them. And then they start sharing about how the townspeople need to repent, how they need to sort out their lives with God. And the people are going, you know what, you're right. Tell us more. And they're just like, pinch me, this is amazing. The people want to hear, the people want to engage with the truth that they have to share. And there are moments when they aren't welcome. They do come to some villages and to some hamlets and to some towns where they're not welcomed, as Jesus said. But they're prepared. They don't get angry. They don't take it as a personal rejection. They're not hurt or discouraged because Jesus told them this was part of the mission. It's not personal. They don't need to feel the wounds themselves. If anything, it's about him, not them. And so they do, as you say. They just move on. Can you see what Jesus is doing here? He's invited them to be on the same mission that he is. The Prince of Heaven could have all the kit. If he'd wanted a rocket pack, he could have had one. But he came with no kits. He didn't come with a throne. He came to a manger. He emptied himself of his glory. The one who created the universe came as a man. He came in humility and vulnerability. And just the same, he sends out his disciples in faith and trust, trusting that the Father will lead them and will use them. And he's asking us to be on that same mission. Just as Bond's mission is to save the world again, so our mission, in Jesus' name, is to save the world. But we don't need the kit. We need simple faith. We need to trust that the one who sends us knows what he is doing. We don't need brute force and power. We don't need surface-to-air missiles and cars with slasher hubcaps. We need humility. We're told, actually, to go in a position of vulnerability. Not as people who are sorted. I've got a bag full of stuff. I've got all the money I could need. I've got all the food I could ever need. He doesn't send us like that. He sends us vulnerable. He sends us dependent on others. He sends us as people who are not sorted, who are not independent, as people who need help. Isn't that a relief? To be adequate for the mission, you need to know you're not sorted, and you need to know that you need help. I can put my hand up to that one. The disciples needed others to feed them, to take them in. The disciples needed the Holy Spirit to open up opportunities for them. They were told simply to just take the opportunities as God opened them up. If someone greets you, go with them. If they want to hear, tell them. If they want to be prayed for, pray for them. And unlike Bond, we don't need to go it alone. We go together. Jesus sent his disciples off in pairs. He's placed us in a church family. And most importantly, we go in the power of the Holy Spirit. This isn't about us. It's about him in us. Jesus says, trust me, I'll give you the opportunities. I'll provide what you need. I'll direct your steps. You just go and I'll take care of the rest. Jesus says to you and to me, I'm sending you. I've sent you into your workplace. Jesus says to us, I've put you there. It's not that your CV was good. It's not that you made it happen. I've put you there. Jesus says to us, I put you into your friendship groups, into your family, into your street, into your community, onto that specific school gate, into that U3A group, into that gym, into your book club, into the job centre, onto the bus stop queue, into the supermarket, into every interaction with people. Jesus says, I've put you there. I've sent you. And if some aren't interested, don't worry. Don't let it put you off the mission. Don't let it grieve you in here. Go and keep going. So here's my encouragement to us. Let's keep to the mission. Let's go into the day-to-day stuff of our lives with the expectation that God will turn up, that he will give us favour, that he will introduce us to people who are interested, who want to know, who want to be prayed for, who need encouragement. Let's go into life knowing that Jesus sends us and that he will do amazing things. And it's not about having a bag of stuff. It's not about us. It's about him in us. It's his authority, not ours. And then a final dose of realism from Jesus. With all that I've said, do you find that sometimes it's the hardest to share your faith with those that you're closest to? Your family and your closest friends. It's just a dynamic that's really tricky. They know you so well. They know your story. And sometimes it's the hardest. Don't panic. Jesus found it was exactly the same. Do you remember at the start of our Bible passage, he goes to his own family, to his hometown, and they're like, yeah, right, Jesus. We've known you since you were in shorts. It's in his own backyard that he experiences the hardest reception. Isn't this the carpenter, they say? The plan's the same. The mission is still the same. Connect with people. Find people who need to hear, who want to hear. Pray for people. Hang out with people. Eat food with people. Share life with people. And through this down-to-earth, honest, simple approach, share the good news. That's the mission. That's what we're called to. And if sometimes it's hardest in our own backyard, don't panic. It was for Jesus. But don't give in and keep praying. Because we know what happened after the resurrection, don't we? Some of those same family members became leading lights in the church. Some of Jesus' brothers here who are like, who's our young kid brother coming along saying like he's a great rabbi? They encounter the risen Jesus themselves and their lives are changed. Trust that God is at work. Even in those people that you care deeply about but you think are the most difficult. So let's keep things simple. Here's the plan. Here's the mission. Connect with people. Find people who need to hear, who want to hear. Pray for people. Hang out with people. Eat with people. That's really fun. Share life with people. And through this, through knowing that you're not sorted, through knowing that you need help, share life with people and share faith with people. Knowing that Jesus is at work, that he has sent us, and that he will give us fruit. Amen.